And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today is Mike Gregg. In this episode, we'll start by discussing the latest in film news and speculation. After that, we'll play an audio clip of the film manager, Kit Simons. And the rest of the show, we will be previewing the opener for film On the Road against Cardiff City. While I wait for Mike to arrive, just want to mention again, please do check out the Cottage Talk Facebook page. I do post a great deal amount of content on there, from articles to questions, anything you can think of. I'm posting on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook, please do check out that page. I actually have a question for a prediction. So feel free, if you're listening live, to share your prediction for the show. On the show, I'm sorry, about the upcoming full match against Cardiff City. And I am looking forward to going into great detail about this match. I really look forward to it. And just some basic information while I wait for Mike to arrive. Again, I don't know if you are aware of it, but the under-21s tonight beat Brighton Hove Albion 1-0 with a goal from Stephen Humphreys. That was actually set up by Luca Della Torre. Again, the under-21s started the season on a high. Just want to mention that. Very good start by them. So that's number one. Just wanted to get that out there. Also, if you go to the Fulham website, you will notice that the new kit is available, and you will see the kit's new sponsor, which is visitflorida.com. Check that out. And there's been so much talk about the kit. Now you can actually see it. Okay, it looks like my co-host is here. I'm going to bring him on. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good. Russ, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yeah, that's fine. I was just having problems with Skype, so I've used the other system. Just to let you know anyway.
Well, let's hope it works, my friend. Let's hope everything goes well. Listen, I started the show by mentioning that the under-21s, again, just a little bonus topic for you. They beat Brighton & Hove Albion 1-0 with a goal from Stephen Humphreys, and actually his goal was set up by young Luca Della Torre, that you've told me offline you're very high on. What are your thoughts about the under-21s winning this game at Motspur Park?
Well, actually, I was lucky enough to be one of the few who could watch that game today. Della Torre had a bit of a quiet game, and Humphreys had about four or five shots. But near the end, about 5 minutes from the end, He got a good shot in, and it was on target. And we won 1-0. It was a good second half performance against a quite physical and older Brighton team. As I've been saying, the under 21s, it's a very young side. You know, oldest player today was probably 19. So we have to have a lot of patience with them. But good way to kick the season off, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Were you encouraged by what you saw today, Mike? You know, I know that it is a very young team. Is this like a little baby step for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think there's concerns that the team's so young and, you know, how they're going to do. But, it was a bit shaky, like I say, first half, and it wasn't all coming together. But I think a couple of tactical changes second half, and we were the better side in throughout the whole game. And they're all youngsters, all learning. They're going to make mistakes. And that's the fourth time I've seen that sort of group already this season. And Fulham fans, I know they're down on the possibility of losing some other youngsters, but they should rest assured that it's a conveyor belt, and there's a good few coming through, and we're not going to see them this season or even next. But the club, Hugh Jennings, Steve Wigley, they're working hard to make sure that we've got players who are going to be, I don't want to use the word assets, but, you know, good players for us in the future. And they won't all make it. But, there's a few there who, for me, are already showing signs that they're the ones to keep an eye on.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because if I've read correctly, a few of them just recently signed, Mike. I believe Fode Nabeya, if I'm saying that correctly, and then also Luca Della Torre just signed contracts.
That's right. So they've just turned 17, which allows them to sign for, I think it's 2 years, or three years maybe, but it's the earliest that they can really sign a professional contract. And so between now and their 18th day, they're on a scholarship contract, if you like, and then it becomes a professional one. But it's really good to get those two signed up. Certainly Del Toro, I've spoken before, he's very promising. And Frodo, he never got on today, but again, another player who has excited me, certainly in the Tooting and Mitcham game, which I saw him play. So there's a couple of others I think that they're working on. And from a sort of centre-half point of view, we had a Spanish lad in Pino Sola. He's been one of those trialists. He played again today, and I thought he played very well next to Cameron Burgess as well.
Oh, great. Well, that's encouraging. You know, and again, it's funny because I remember Cameron Burgess from last season, Mike, and thought he wasn't ready yet. How far along is he in his progression? Do you think he's still a year away, or maybe possibly more than that, Cameron Burgess as a center back?
I think he needs to go and have a loan at a League Two, League One side, needs to, find out what it's like playing against, real tough players, certainly at League Two. I think one of his problems last year was all too early for him. And, he's a big lad, but certainly Derby away, he shrunk considerably and just wanted to hide. And you had to feel sorry for him. So it wasn't right that he played last year. But that's, that's Felix's decision, wasn't it? But he's got the attributes. He just needs to get some professional games behind him, and a whole season playing League One, League Two, a couple of teams on loan maybe, and we'll see a better player next year, I'm sure.
I hope so. You know, again, I remember him from a few years ago with the under-18s and thought he had promise, and thought he got thrown to the wolves. You know, that's a term that we use here, and way too soon, and I thought, it might have hurt his progression. So I agree with you. Maybe he should go out on loan, and that could help his progression. And we do have some youngsters to keep, to keep looking at. And that's what's great, Mike, because I know how you follow them so closely. And that's why we can have these discussions. And you really know, you really have a feel for what's going on with these players. So I'm glad that we could talk about it. All right, let's move on. Before we talk about anything else, again, the big news this morning, this afternoon where you were, was the launch of the kit. Just share with me your thoughts of the kit. Again, I've seen it before, so this wasn't a shock to me, but some fans, I guess this was the first time seeing the kit. So what are your thoughts about the unveiling of the Fulham home kit?
Well, I think, the majority of fans are obviously relieved it's now on sale for them, and some of them have been lucky enough to get down to the shop today before it closed to pick one up. For whatever reasons, the club have been unable to release it. We've got the sponsor in place now. The kit's on sale. It's a lovely kit. I've got one myself. And it's one of those kits where you can see if we have a good season, the whole, vast majority of the crowd are going to be wearing. I reckon it'll be one of the best sellers if we have a really good season. It's a good kit. It's a nice kit to wear as well. And traditional black and white, and that's right. What we like, and we have a touch of the USA on it, don't we, Russ? So,
yes, we do. I was just going to say, Mike, it's funny because I've had actually local soccer fans, and of course I have to say soccer fans here, but I actually call football fans, local soccer fans of the New England Revolution, give me a hard time about the visitflorida.com, and honestly, it's not my decision, but I understand, the reach and this sponsorship being on there. I actually think it's a good fit. I know, again, the logo itself, again, is very different than the actual traditional look. But I like the sponsor, Mike, to be honest with you. I think it's a positive.
Well, I think what's also got lost is, because most people don't really read every article, is that Visit Florida is going to be on top of the river.
Right.
And so we've had FX Pro on there for a number of years, even after their sponsorship of the shirts ended, because they knew it was such a good good place to have it, because anyone flying into Heathrow over London looks out on the right hand side, sees the cottage, and see, now they're going to see visit. So I'm just glad it's out now, and everyone can get hold of it. I'm not so mad on the away kit, I'll be honest, but let's stick with the home kit, and it's really good, and no more orange or color it was. And like I say, I think it's going to be a really good seller, and we're going to see a lot of people wearing them.
I hope so, Mike. And again, it's out there, so please do go to the Fulham website and check out the new kit. All right, Mike, let's move on. We actually, believe it or not, had a signing this week, and I had been following this on social media for, I want to say, about a week now, and it became official. Fulham have signed 26-year-old finisher. If I'm saying this wrong, I apologize. Defensive midfielder Sakari Matola. What are your thoughts on this latest signing? It is a defensive midfielder. Again, we don't know that much about him. I tried to watch YouTube videos and try to read articles on him, but I'm just curious what you think about him, Mike, because they needed a defensive midfielder.
They did, and in this modern age of us all playing Football Manager or National Football and everything, for a player who virtually no one knows about unless you live in the Scandinavian area, to come out and sign for us is odd. I saw Kit say it was the stats guys brought him up, and then Mike Rigg went over and watched him. So it's not as if we bought this bloke blind. And we'll just have to see. I'm willing to give him a chance. I mean, we've seen players and they've turned out to be rubbish, and now we've signed a player for nothing or a little bit of money, and we don't know what he's like. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do. But I understand he's, he can play defensive midfielder or even centre back if required. Right. So he sounds like the player, that utility player that every team really needs. And I doubt he'll start many games this season, but I'm sure he'll make the odd appearances here and there in the cups, and last 15, 20 minutes of a game to shut. And I think everyone should just relax. Let's see what he can do. And I wouldn't even call it a kind of price we're paying for him. So, and that's what we needed. And then the other thing is, Kit said that the McDonald deal is not going to happen now. So. Right. I think midfield-wise, we are set. We are settled with what we have, unless anyone else leaves, because then obviously we'd have to replace. When I think really defensively, he's got to be an asset, because that's what we're missing. That solid defensive player.
No, good point. And it's funny. A player that I always liked, Mike, was Chris Baird. And Chris Baird is with Derby County. And it's a player that I wish Fulham actually re-signed. And you know what? I remember the beginning of Chris Baird's career. No one thought that he would probably turn out to be the player that he was with Fulham. There are other players. I don't remember exactly what was thought of Bretta Hanglin in the beginning. But again, Bretta Hanglin did a job. Sometimes you just don't know when they're coming from the Scandinavian countries, and you just have to hope. And who knows, maybe we'll find a diamond in the rough. You just don't know. Just like you, Mike, I'm going to give him a chance. Let's see what he can do. Maybe he'll surprise us. You never know. So that's, I'm being open on this. Again, I really don't know that much about him. I'm going about what I've read and also, what I've seen. And again, it's very little, but I'm willing to give him a chance, and I hope the fans do as well. All right, Mike. Let's move on. Let's talk about this. It's happened again. Kostas Mitroglou has gone out on loan, and this time it's a season-long loan to Benfica. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, there's been a lot of talk, hasn't there? We should have kept him, and because he looked so good last week. A week ago, the vast majority of fans would have been happy for him to go. We all expected him to be sold or go on loan. But he had that cameo at the weekend. We've all going, oh well, he looks useful, we should keep him, and let's hope he does. But in the end, he doesn't want to play Championship football. I agree with the club. If you've got players who don't want to play for you, be that the club totally or in the division, then I want players who are 100% committed to the cause. So yes, he's gone out on loan, we get a fee for it. This time there is an agreement that if they want to buy him, there's the clause to, you know, take him permanently in the summer. And yeah, the whole transfer in his time here has been a, you know, a mess, a disappointment, a balls up, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, I think the club have done the best they can do in the situation. And I don't blame him at all. You know, he wants to play. He wants to play in a high division. He's, you know, professional. And, you know, good luck to him, because the as I always say, if these players go out, they do well, and they do well for us, because, you know, financially, we hopefully get a fee next summer. If not, he comes back. And even Kit's left the door open, saying that he does like, if we're in the Premier League next year, he could well stay. So I mean, it's for all parties, it's a decent deal.
It is, you know, and again, Mike, listen, if a player doesn't want to be here, you know, I would rather him go. And it sounded like, you know, everything that I've read about Kostas, you know, again, he did look pretty good in the last friendly. You know, I think the club did what they could. He didn't want to play in the championship. I've read possibly he would want to play if Fulham got promoted in the Premiership. Well, let's see what happens there. Again, you know, send him out on loan, get his wages off the books, you know, do what you need to do and you move on. And, you know, it's the reality of the situation. You know, he didn't want to play in the championship. So Fulham did the best that they could, and we'll take it from there. All right, Mike, I have to share this with you. You and I have talked a great deal about the players that are on the last year, the young players are on the last year of their deal. And when I saw this this week, this actually really concerned me. According to MLSsoccer.com, Emerson Hyman has turned down multiple extension offers from Fulham. Now, let me just get your thoughts on this twofold, you know, again, because I've seen so much talk about this. How much, you know, and I want you to really think about this. How much do you blame the club, you know, the fact that he's on the last year of his deal, but how much also do you blame these young players for not signing a contract? Because, again, it's a two-way street. They have to want to sign. So, again, I don't know, you know, again, this is speculation. I don't know what's going on with Emerson Hyman, but I think it's more than just the team not signing him. I think it works both ways, Mike. That's just my thoughts, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, one thing it does show is that we have been offering the contracts, because there's, right, you know, people seem to think, oh, they offered contracts at the earliest opportunity. You know, I've spoken before about certain ages where you can only offer a contract, but they've offered these contracts to these guys at the earliest opportunity. Now, whether it's the right amount that we're offering, or, you know, it's too high compared to the rest of the squad or too low, no one really knows. But, you know, Emerson is 19, played about a dozen games last year. Only 15, 16 months ago, he's playing in a Youth Cup final. And he's had a lot in the last, he's been in the Under-20s World Cup. He's been in the US squad. You know, so at some stage, he's looking at things going, you know, I'm on my way. And I'm sure that's what's happened. But the club have to make a decision on how much they offer. And, yeah, I mean, I've said before, yeah, we should just spend Dembele whatever they want to keep. But that has a knock-on effect to the rest of the players in that age group, especially as it's unlikely they're going to be regulars this season, in, you know, starting-wise, that's for sure. And it becomes a knock-on effect. And so that's the other player group as well. So if we're offering them 5, 10, 15, 20, and the other guys are on, you know, 5 or 6, it does cause issues. And, you know, we're a club which has been relegated. We have to look at the finances of everything. So I clubbed last year because I do believe they've offered the contracts at the right time.
Right. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, no, so I was just going to say that it's not a coincidence that Pat Roberts, Dembele and Hyman have all come through at the same time, international, the younger levels, and are getting recognition and they're in their last year of the contract. It's just the way it's worked out because of their age group. also not a coincidence that they probably had their heads turned, you know, while they've been away on these internationals. And that's it's a combination of not having the, not playing, you know, first team. They can look at it and go, well, we're not going to be first teamers. It's also money, and we can't shy away from that. They can get 40K if they go to a Premier League side, can't they? Because that's
what
play 18-year-olds.
No, I hear you, Mike. And that's, you know, again, money talks. And I know that's a factor. And I want Emerson Hyman to be a Fulham long-term. And obviously they're trying, but, and I want to give the club credit, but I don't know if it's a money thing, you know, if they're not offering enough or if others are offering more, but they're certainly giving an effort. And I hope Emerson Hyman stays. It's a player that I thought Fulham could build around in years to come, one of the building blocks. So I hope they continue to try, and we'll have to watch how this goes. But again, you know, it goes back to something that I'll be sharing what Kit says in the interview. If they want to be here, then they'll be here. They've got to want to be at Fulham. And I just don't know the situation with Emerson Hyman. I hope he does. And I hope he signs a new deal. I just think that it's a two-way street. It's not just cut and dry. Well, Fulham need to sign him. The player, you know, again, the player has to agree. It takes two sides to make a deal. That was my only point of bringing this up, Mike. Are you still with me?
Yeah, no, I mean, Russ, I totally agree. But you've also got to look at Hyman's situation. We brought in all these midfielders. I mean, I expect him to be on the bench tomorrow. Parker's injured and Tunnicliffe is suspended. So he's the next natural midfielder, central midfielder we have. And so you can look at that in a positive way. But then the other way is you can say, well, yeah, those two are out, so I'm next in line. But once those two are fit, I'm not even going to make the bench. You know, he's good enough to be in the match day 18, certainly on the bench for the rest of the season. And that's how I would sell it to him is, you know, sign the contract, give us a year and you'll get game time, and let's reassess in the summer next year. And if we haven't gone up, you feel you, then, you know, we'll look at trying to get you a move. But, you know, give us, this is what I would not plead, but you sort of say, you know, give us that one extra year, lads. You're only 19. You're only 19. It's going to come. You're going to get the big money. You're going to get the big moves. But let's see. And that's the best you can do. And if they say no between now and the end of August, then we have to move them on, because otherwise they just go next summer for a limited amount of money.
Right. You know, and again, it's a tough situation, you know, because Emerson Hyman has leverage here, along with Dembele, along with Bettinelli, and along with Byrne. They all have the leverage here on Fulham. If, you know, again, if they don't have to sign a new deal. So it's a tough situation that they're all in. And like you said, it's not by accident, because of that great academy team, you know, a few years ago. They're all coming up at the same time. So now this situation is coming to fruition. And listen, I believe the club are trying, you know, but again, like I said, it takes two sides to make a deal, but it's also playing time. I'm glad that you brought that up, Mike. All right, let's move on. What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to skip over one small thing, and I'm going to go right to the interview with Kit, Mike. It's about 7 minutes long. I want to get that out there and then get your thoughts on the interview that Kit did yesterday with Sarah, and that'll help jumpstart our preview of Cardiff City. Sound good?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Without further ado, here is the interview with Kit Simons, done yesterday.
Kit, it was a great, solid performance against Crystal Palace in the last of the pre-season friendlies, but obviously it came with a bit of a blow in the form of Luke Garbutt's injury.
Yeah, very, very disappointed, obviously, for us and firstly for Luke. He was having a real solid game on his debut. Sort of pretty innocuous, blocked across from Wilfried Zaha, didn't think too much of it, and, you know, obviously it was quite painful, and he ended up having to go off, and, you know, after all the scans and the assessments, it's, you know, he's going to be out for a little while now, which is a real blow for the lad and a blow for us, because, you know, we'd worked hard to get him in, and everyone at the football club was so delighted to have got his signature on loan. So it's a real shame, but, you know, these things happen, we'll crack on.
And in terms of the rest of the squad, how is everybody feeling? I know that there are the longer term injuries of Scott Parker being out. Fernando, who only joined you late in pre-season, has also had a little operation.
Yeah, that's right. He came back from his international games, Fernando, and started training with us, but then felt the problem straight away, so he's gone in, had an operation now, but it's a quite quick recovery, so he should be sort of back running 10 days and sort of training just after that, so he shouldn't be too far away.
And apart from that, everybody else sort of fit and healthy?
Pretty much. Was the Georgie Williams longer term one, Adam Taggart's slight hamstring at the moment, which is sort of running them on a little bit, but won't be too much longer, I wouldn't think. Then a couple of little niggles which we're waiting to see on for tomorrow, but they're very, very close.
He made his first appearance at Craven Cottage on Saturday, and it was probably his last appearance for the season, certainly. Can you give us an update on Kostas Mitroglou and where he is now?
Yeah, well, his stance has always been the same, Kostas. You know, he didn't want to play in the Championship, and I was well aware of that and understood that. So it looks like hopefully his loan deal to Benfica will go through and that should all be sorted. And he'll be there for the season. I mean, he came back. Again, he was away on international duty, so he came back late. We took him over to Austria with us and he worked very hard, and I think he's enjoyed the training. And he said to one of the fitness guys, if you get promoted, I'd like to come back and play in the Premier League with Fulham. So hopefully that'll be the case.
Moving on to Saturday, I know that you went to watch Cardiff play against Bournemouth last week. What are you expecting from them?
Yeah, a good side, very strong, very solid, got physical presence about them, and they got some quality players. So it'll be a tough game, you know, and obviously they're at home, it'll be a big crowd, very partisan crowd. So it'll be hard for us, but also I looked at them and I was impressed with the way they played and some of their movement and some of the quality footballers they got. But I also looked at them and thought there's ways that we can get at them, we can hurt them and we can cause them problems. So we've got like a dual game plan, if you want, to try and sort of nullify their main threats, of which they've got several, and try and exploit a few of their weaknesses as well.
Obviously, points are incredibly important, but given the start from last season, how important is it to get off to a good start this season for the psychological confidence that comes with getting off to a good start?
Yeah, that's right. No, it's always nice and sort of gives you that little bit of reassurance to get a few points on the board very early, and that's what we'd like to do. We're all set to go and get a positive result up at Cardiff. If it doesn't go away, it's far from the end of the world, but we want to get a decent start over the first, obviously when I took over after 7 games last year, we had 1 point, so I'd certainly be targeting a lot more points on the board than that after 7 games played.
There's still a fair amount of time left in the transfer window. Are we looking at Kitzsimons' squad now as being still work to be done in terms of acquisitions, bringing people in and potentially some of the younger players going out on loan?
I think quite possibly there'll be a fair bit of movement still to come. So, I think it's still a work in progress. I've been delighted with the acquisitions we've made this close season, and the work that we've got out of the players and we've done with them. It's been brilliant as far as I'm concerned. I'm really, really pleased. But like I say, if ever we can look to improve, either the quality within our squad and then certain things that we do with them, I'll always look to do that. I think once you sort of sit back and you're too pleased with what you got, and people catch up with you and overtake you. So we need to keep pushing and keep improving all the time.
Just a final word on the younger players. There's lots of talk on Twitter about Emerson and Musa and Marcus all coming to the end of their contracts at the end of this season. Can you give us an update on that and how negotiations are progressing?
Yeah, well, we've all three players have been spoken to, and our representatives, we'd like to offer them new deals and extend their time here at Fulham. Hopefully that will be the case. None of the three have signed as of yet. Hopefully some or all of them will do in the very, very near future. But it becomes quite difficult if you get players in the last year of the contract and they make a decision they don't want to be here, And I understand that happens sometimes, but
obviously it happened with Pat Roberts, and I guess that's where the concerns come from.
Similar to the Pat Roberts situation, exactly there. Now, with Pat Roberts, that was the case. He wasn't going to sign, but we did the right thing for the football club and we got a good deal out of it. So, you know, we were happy enough. Said to lose one of our bright young talents, but, you know, sometimes these things happen, and if they don't want to sign for us, we can't make them. It's as simple as that. So we need to make sure we try and do the right thing for the football club. Ideally, the young players or all players will see this is a great place for them to be and a great platform and a great opportunity for them to apply their trade and to learn and develop and then become regular first team players, which is what we'd all love. You know, as many players as possible that have come through our academy that are playing regularly in our first team. You know, obviously we've got Marcus, Lass, Corley, who had a lot of game time last year, and a lot of the other young boys sort of played quite a bit of football too. So it is a brilliant football club to be at for young players and older players alike. You know, all the new signings, for example, settled really, really well and have all stated how much they've been impressed with the football club as a whole and the quality of people we got working here with us.
The atmosphere around is fantastic. Everybody's very buoyant and very upbeat. That must give you great confidence and delight going into the first game of the season. Everybody's excited.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I think also if you can't enjoy pre-season, you're struggling, you know. So, but it's great. You know, it couldn't have gone better, really. You know, although the only game we sort of lost was a very narrow defeat to Frankfurt. Sometimes that's not a bad thing either. If we'd been unbeaten maybe in pre-season, you might get too complacent or something. So I always put a positive slant on things, and I've been delighted with the way it's gone. And as you say, there's a genuine excitement around the place. I'm excited, certainly, and I think, you know, I just look at other people and, you know, the staff around Motspur Park and the players, you know, I can sense an excitement from them and a genuine belief within them. And, you know, that's great, and that's what we want.
Can't wait now. We wish you luck.
Brilliant. Thank you. Cheers.
Okay, we are back, and that was an interview done yesterday with the full manager, Kit Simons, done as always by Sarah Brooks, Director of Communications for Fulham Football Club, and she does a great interview always with Kit, and I thought what Kit shared with us was a little bit revealing. He talked about everything from the upcoming match to the situation with Kostas Mitroglou, and I find it interesting that he says in the interview that if for some reason Fulham do go back up to the Premier League, he might be open to coming back to Fulham. So that's interesting. But he obviously is off to Benfica on the season-long loan. So I do want to wish Kostas Mitroglou the best of luck, and we'll see what happens from there. I just want to mention while we were doing the interview, sending out the interview, that I'm just waiting for Mike to dial back, and we were having some issues again with our connection, and hopefully Mike will be able to join us momentarily. Again, we've unfortunately been having a good amount of technical difficulties, which I thought were all taken care of, but obviously they are not, and we're just going to roll with the punches. But let's start here. Let's start the preview, and while I wait for Mike, and I'm going to start with the team news, and this actually comes directly from the Fulham website, and then I'm going to share with you some news on Cardiff, and that will set up our preview. And here's the team news. This was actually released yesterday in Thursday's pre-match press conference. Kit Simons revealed his disappointment at not having Luke Garbutt available for the start of the 2015-2016 campaign. The on-loan left-back hurt his ankle blocking a cross from Crystal Palace Wilfred Zaha, Fulham's final preseason fixture on Saturday, and is expecting to be out between 4 to 6 weeks. Luke's going to be out, which is a blow for us and a blow for the lad, the Fulham manager admitted, but we'll get the right medical treatment for him. Hopefully it won't be too long, but it's not going to be an immediate return, that's for sure. So we're a bit disappointed with that. He came in, settled in really, really well, but it's just one of those things. Scott Parker and George Williams will also miss out at Cardiff City on Saturday as they continue their recoveries from injury, while Fernando Morabieta is absent, undergone surgery. Ryan Tunnicliffe is suspended. Other than that, Adam Target has got a bit of a hamstring problem. These are all directly from Kit. Then there's a few niggles and a couple of concerns. So there might be all right traveling tomorrow. They might not. We're not sure yet. And I think I know a player that he's talking about, and we'll talk about him when we do our preview. It looks like Mike is back with us. Mike, you back on with us?
Hi, Russ. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Mike. How you doing?
Sorry about that. Yeah, my Skype, for some reason, I'm getting engaged time when I ring you in, Russ. Too many people trying to ring in, probably.
Okay, not a problem. Not a problem, Mike. We'll get through this, and I'm sorry we're having some, again, technical difficulties, but, you know, it is what it is. Before we start our preview, Mike, I'm just going to read a little bit of the Cardiff City fact file that's also on the website. And again, just some team news, just so everyone's up to speed on what's going on with Cardiff City, because you might not be. And here's the team news, because it does affect this match tomorrow. Cardiff will be without several first-teamers for Saturday's season opener. David Marshall is suspended after picking up a red card on the final day of 2014-2015. Simon Moore is expected to deputize. Center backs Bruno Manga and Ben Turner remain sidelined, while striker Kenwyn Jones won't be risked after returning from the Gold Cup with a minor muscle problem. And fellow forward Federico Makeda is out with a back injury. Okay, that's just the latest news from Cardiff City. I've shared them from Fulham. And Mike, I just want, you know, again, just your opening thoughts on this upcoming match tomorrow for Fulham on the road at Cardiff City. Are you going?
Yeah, I've got to get up at 4:30 to go and get the 6:15 coach from Motspur Park. But yeah, I'll be going. Always like to see the first game of the season, and it's going to be a nice day, and hopefully we'll come back with the 3 points.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mike, what I'm also going to do, again, a Fulham supporter up in Cardiff sent me his notes to help us with our preview, and Alex Norton was up in Cardiff going to university there. Now I believe he works up there, but he sent me this good, you know, again, a little bit of a fact file, but more notes for us to help us with this preview. So I'm just gonna read some of it, just again, just to help us out, and then you and I can go through our preview. So again, this is from Alex Norton. Preseason, Cardiff had a quite a largely successful preseason, making trips to Israel and the Netherlands and playing a total of 7 games. They went unbeaten throughout, drawing their first 2 matches, but then picking up 5 consecutive wins. The latter two being hard-fought victories over newly promoted Premier League side Watford and Bournemouth. As a result, they entered the season well-prepared and full of confidence. Transfers, the club had a very low-profile transfer window to date, with owner Vincent Tan having had his fingers burnt by some relatively big transfers before, not unlike ourselves. They have made 3 additions, including 2 free transfers, but the most high-profile, and I believe he will be playing, is the loan deal for Newcastle winger Sammy Amiobi, who at the age of 23 has 50 Premier League appearances, a smattering of Europa League games as well. He then goes into player and manager. Key players such as goalkeeper and Scottish international David Marshall, last year's top scorer Kenwyn Jones, are out through suspension and injury, respectively. They're both very important for Cardiff, with Marshall almost certainly the side's best player, and their absences will be keenly felt in both goal and attack. Okay, then he goes into detail about the 2 other players that are going to be missing out. Cardiff are also in the midst of a slight defensive crisis, with first-team center backs such as Bruno Manga and Ben Turner out through injury. Okay, and, you know, again, he just goes into details about that, and then he ends up saying manager Russell Slade is thought of as an excellent motivator and talent scout, but not renowned for his tactical acumen. He endured a mixed first season at Cardiff, taking them from 14th position upon his appointment to in October to 11th at the end of the season. There were spells of poor form, particularly at the end of January, where the club lost 6-8, and doubts about him remain. He will come under pressure from the club's ownership if the season does not start well. And he ends with a little piece of trivia that I was not aware of, Mike. I'm just going to share this with you. Ross McCormack spent 3 years at Cardiff City and was their top scorer in 2008-2009. In an embarrassing incident, he crashed his car in Cardiff Bay, but swiftly drove off, only to be tracked down as his personalized number plate had fallen off. He wanted me to read that out to everyone. Prediction, he's predicting 1-1, a tentative opening encounter between 2 sides who'll be hoping to be promoted in May. All right, Mike, and that again is just some thoughts from from a Fulham supporter, Alex Norton, who helped us out last year because he's right in Cardiff. All right, Mike, let me ask you, you know, I did mention some of the players that are going to be out for them. How big of a loss do you see the players that are going to be missing, like a Cameron Jones, but especially their starting goalkeeper? Does this help Fulham tomorrow?
Yeah, it does, because Cameron Jones, he always gives us some problems, and it's always good when you're playing a team who's one goalkeeper is going to be playing as well. So, given the fact that we've not replaced or we've not brought in a centre-back, or, you know, so we're a bit weak maybe in that area, it should balance itself out. But I look at, you know, their midfield, and, you know, with our new midfield, with the energy and passing they've got, you know, we should be good enough to, get some kind of result there tomorrow. But Marshall's a good goalkeeper for them. So I think that will be a big blow for them. And, Jones, hot and cold he blows. And, you know, Amiobi, he's young, still on a bit raw. So I'm not too concerned about him. So, I think Marshall missing is going to be the best bit for us.
Okay, and I definitely agree with you on that. And let me ask you, which player concerns you the most? You've been naming a few players. Who concerns you most that you know will be pulling? Is it someone like Amiobi? Or could it actually be a former Fulham player, and I'm probably saying this wrong, Kagiso Digochoy, that actually really didn't play that much for Fulham, but he's someone that can control the play. But our midfield is very strong, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I think they still have Whittingham, don't they, if he plays.
Yes.
He's a very good player, and I know we looked at him in the past, and so we need to keep an eye on him. But, I'm really quite excited by our midfield. So, you know, Digochoy is a strong player, but he's, you know, he's not that mobile. And that's where I think we're going to, you know, win the game, if you like, in that midfield position. Because I think we're just overpower him in the sort of, youth and energy that we're going to have there.
Okay, and I tend to agree with you. So that's going to lead me to ask you, who are going to be your key players? It sounds like to me it would have to be the midfielders.
I mean, Horry's impressed in pre-season, and it will be interesting to see whether he picks Pringle or Kaká on the left, but I suspect it'll be the team we saw at home last week. So, LVC, O'Hara, in that midfield battle with possibly Whittingham and Troy, that's where it's going to be won. And I think O'Hara's little bit of extra class, if he can produce that, and LVC showing some of the form we did last year, will be more than a match for those two, and will allow Pringle and Kenny to get involved and help McCormack, you know, and whoever he plays with, you know, get to create some chances. And that's what I'm looking for, really, is LVC and O'Hara dominating that midfield, because we lost so many games in midfield last year.
Totally. That's, you know, again, that's what's encouraging me, Mike. The players you're talking about, the midfield strength that now Fulham have. And I want to go back and ask you about Jamie O'Hara, because I've seen him play in the past. It's been a little bit. And, again, Emilio and I were talking about on the last show. I know it's not it's not a complete comparison, but what are your thoughts about him playing that Danny Murphy role? Can he fit that role that we've been trying to really, you know, take care of for several years? Is he that type of player, or is he a little bit different?
He's the closest we've had since Danny left. So, yes, he plays that deep role, keeps the ball moving. Probably a bit more mobile, considering, you know, some things people say about O'Hara. But, he's as close as we've got so far. And, you know, it's early days for him, and we don't really want to saddle him with too much comparisons with Murphy. But, hopefully he's going to fit that role, that somebody to keep the ball moving, the long-range passing. You know, Parker isn't that kind of player, so he's the best we've got, I think, at this moment in the squad. Although the player we spoke about earlier, Hydman, is probably his replacement in, if you're looking for the same
exactly.
kind of player.
Exactly. You know, that's why I, you know, it's funny you bring up Emerson Hyman, because he could play that role long term. That's what's, you know, that's what's disconcerting for me with his situation. But again, we've already talked about Emerson Hyman, because he's going to be probably backing up Jamie O'Hara and playing that role to really control the play from a deep role. And boy, I hope he stays, Mike. That's just my feeling, and I hope they can get something done. And like you said, go back to what you said earlier. Convince him to stay a year and then reassess after that. I hope that they can keep him for an additional year and then let's see what can happen from there. All right, Mike, this is always my favorite question to ask David. David's not with us. David is recovering. I want to mention to everyone, David is recovering from his final surgery. He's doing much better. Unfortunately, he cannot join us today. He's still at the hospital, but he will be returning home soon. And this is something that Dave and I would always go back and forth with, because I'd ask him this and he'd joke around with me. So I'm going to ask you, what the Fulham need to do to win this match, Mike?
Well, I've said already they need to win the midfield battle, but let's be honest, every Fulham fan is going to be looking at that back four, the team, when we're defending course free kicks and as a unit. So I would say, you know, defensively as a unit, certainly the back four and four midfielders, probably they're the key players. You know, we last year, 65 of the time we let a goal in first playing catch up, and we just can't continue that. So key players for me, the two centre-backs and the two full-backs, really. They have to show that the work they've done in pre-season, that Kidd has gone about, he's had time now to drill them into some kind of unit. And there were times against Palace, first half hour, it looked good. And then we conceded a last season goal, if you like. And, you know, we need to get rid of those errors if we've got any intention of challenging for promotion. So the key players for me, the back four.
Okay. And that's going to lead me, before we go in and we talk about your survey, which again, listen, Mike, you do some fantastic surveys and we're going to go through it. I want to get your thoughts on the results of this. Before we do, you and I have both seen on Twitter, and again, I was talking about this a little bit earlier, that there could be a few other players dealing with things. And on Twitter, Jack Rimmer tweeted out, you know, it sounds like he's dealing with a sickness of some kind. So, Mike, it sounds like to me that Jack Rimmer will not be part of Fulham's team tomorrow.
No, Jack was at Motspur Park earlier, so he's definitely not going to be in Cardiff. He's got a virus he's had for a couple of days, so it's just knocked him out. It's not an injury. So, unfortunately, he's not going to be in the squad tomorrow. So we're limited in players who can play at fullback.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, you didn't know that when you did this survey, so the fans didn't know. But what's great about this, again, 278 fans took part of this survey that you did within a day, and that it's pretty impressive that many fans actually participate in this. So just overall, just share with everyone the results of your survey of the starting 11, and then share your thoughts on what you want to be the starting 11 for tomorrow.
Yeah, so I ran a pick the team for Cardiff survey, and I think it ran for about 6-7 hours, and like you say, I had 278 people take part, so need to thank any of them who took part who are listening to the show. And I mean, it was the 11 they picked was Bettinelli in goal. He got about 60% of the votes, and then the back four of Grimmer, Hutchinson, Byrne and Richards Richards at left back, and then the midfield of Kearney and Pringle wide, and O'Hara and LVC in the middle, and Smith and McCormick up front. So I only gave people the option of a 4-4-2. I had a few people saying should be slightly different, but I wanted to keep the voting simple, and also that's sure. The way Kit has the team up. So that's the 11 on total votes cast, and the closest players missing out, if you like, were, you know, people like Bodaroff and Voza, Kavanagh, and even Kaká got a good number of votes.
Yeah.
And Dembele. But if you actually look at the numbers, that 11 was the most popular. There was only one change, if you, because I did it on positions, and so there was only really the changes at fullback, which had Richards at right back and Vosa at left back. So that was interesting, you know, when you're actually picking an 11 and, you know, Vosa got more votes at left back than any other player. And then the last part of the vote, which I showed on the website, was the number of times the same 11 is actually picked. And there's so many permutations.
Wow.
You know, 278 teams, you think, oh, that's going to be pretty obvious. But actually, the highest number of times picked the same team was only 13. And
that is crazy, Mike. I'm looking at this right now. I cannot believe it. Yeah.
It goes back to the Felix Bingo last year when I learned all about this. And, you know, 460 odd people take part and only five people pick the same team. So it's very different when you look at it like that. So, you know, it's Bettinelli in goal and Richards and Kavanagh as the fullbacks. So there you are. Kavanagh wasn't in the most votes for position or the most votes to get into the 11, but he was actually picked in a team the most times by fans. So everyone's looking at pretty much, you know, a core of 10 players, you know, 10 players. It's just that left back position, isn't it?
Yes.
We're just not sure who's going to play. I mean, my money is on Vosa and Richards as the right fullback, and the rest of the team that's been picked, I think Lonergan might play because he played Saturday and Bettinelli's had a little bit of an injury. But, it's, you know, arguments about playing Smith or Dembele. I think because it's away, I think Smith will be picked. So it's going to be interesting, but I don't think we're going to see much different from that, though.
Okay, very good, Mike. And like I said, I enjoyed this survey and picking the team and all the different permutations. It's very interesting, like you said, to have so many different versions. It's fascinating. All right, Mike, your Kit Simons. This is not Kit's starting 11. I want your starting 11, not what he's going to do. What would you do if you're the manager tomorrow? What would be your starting 11? Unfortunately, one of your favorite players, Jack Grimmer, is not available, because I know that you picked Jack Grimmer, and I would too, actually. I'm going to be honest with you. I would have had Jack Grimmer at right back and moved Richards over to left back. I'm telling you that right now. But he's not available. So what's your starting 11?
Like, so in the knowledge of who I know is not fit, I would go Bettinelli in goal if he's available. And then I would have Richards, Bodroff, Burn and Vosa left back, and then I would have same four midfielders everyone's picking, which is Kearney, O'Hara, LVC and Pringle. McCormack up front, not deep, up front, and with Dembele for his pace. So that's the team I would go with, and it would be 4-4-2. And as I say, be telling McCormack, stay as far up front as possible, pressurise their centre-backs, and let Dembele, with his pace, try and get behind them.
I like it, to be honest with you. I like it. I'm not, you know, again, I'm not sold on Vosa, but again, you know, it's a situation that we have with the injuries and the sickness, unfortunately, the Jack Grimmer, that is going to force Kit to make changes here and kind of figure out this back four. All right, that's going to be your starting 11. What do you think Kit will do? Try to predict Kit. It's a little bit easier than Felix Bingo. So what do you think Kit's going to do tomorrow?
I think it'll be Lonergan in goal. It will be Richards at right back, Vosa at left back, Hutchison and Byrne. A midfield of O'Hara sitting, and then Kearney, LVC and Pringle sort of just in front of him. McCormack a little bit deeper, and the big man Smith up front.
Okay. Are you comfortable if he went with Smith up front, Mike? I know you're not his biggest fan, and obviously I understand why, because again, you know, you want us to play a certain way, and he, for me, I agree with you on this. I think that he's a great plan B. would it be a mistake to play him in this game? To start him, I mean.
It wouldn't be a mistake. You know, I've already picked a team where I'd prefer Dembele. But, no, it's not a mistake. I know there's a good argument for it. It's an away game. It's going to be a tough atmosphere. And there could be quite a bit of defending. And you want a big man up top, you know, to get the ball to, maybe. But, I'm not going to get upset if he starts. But you'd fully expect him to last an hour and then be replaced by Woodrow or Dembele, wouldn't you?
Right.
So I can see the arguments for playing him, and you know, he finished the season fairly well, didn't they? Him and McCormack. So I understand why people would like those two up front. It's just my preference that I would prefer to go with something slightly different. But it wouldn't be a mistake. I mean, the key area for me is it's not who plays up front, it's how that back four works, whoever's picked. So really who's up front is irrelevant, because we know where our problems are, and that's the priority.
Listen, I completely agree with you, because I you know, again, that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you. I'm glad that I could do this with you. Because again, you've had a chance to really look at them. I've watched it about as much as I possibly could, and I know that one of our biggest problems was the midfield. It's been taken care of. I can see Ross McCormack, Mike, having an exceptional year because of the upgrades in the midfield. They are going to help him tremendously. If he wants to go with Smith, you know, again, I'm not a big fan of it. I'd like to see him come off the bench. Fine. I think he can do a job. I agree with you. I would actually like to see Dembele. I think we'd be more dangerous with Dembele. But it does go back to that back four. Can that back four hold? That's going to be the million-pound question tomorrow. Can they hold? All right, Mike, before I get your prediction and I share mine, I'm going to share the predictions from the Fulham supporters. We have a decent amount of them on the Cars Talk Facebook page. Roger Lewis said both teams will be feeling their way and will not want to lose. So he's going with 1-1. Matthew Vitiello goes 1-0 to Cardiff, laid off of a set piece. Boy, that would be a killer. Dan Hell says draw 2-2. Tomita Rahman says 1-1. Johan Krantz, 3-0 to Fulham, 2 from McCormack, and a screamer from O'Hara. I like that. And Thea Evans says a whole 12 months ago, Mad Felix McGath was in charge. Were we optimistic of promotion before last season? Can we even remember how we felt back then? Well, before a ball is kicked in anger, I am blindly optimistic. A few games in, I might feel a little bit different. But for now, I'm happy to say I believe the score against Cardiff will be 2-0 win to Fulham. Okay, James Dalton goes 2-1 to Cardiff. Down 2-0 at the half with fast Fulham football from Cardiff. Fulham score late to give us a chance. Chris Bonk goes, call me nuts, but I'm feeling really positive. He's going 3-1 to Fulham. Simon Rugg is going 1-0 to Fulham. Steve Lydiard, 2-1 to Fulham. Goals by Pringle and Kearney. Stephen O'Keefe is going 2-1 to Fulham. Alex Lowy finishes off going 2-1 to Cardiff. All right, Mike. We got kind of a mixed bag here. Before you share your prediction, what are your thoughts of what the Fulham supporters shared with their predictions?
Well, I think some of them are quite optimistic, and which is, you know, that's a good sign. But I think anyone who's put Cardiff nil is probably not going to be right, because, you know, let's be honest, we're probably going to concede a goal. So I would actually go 2-2. I think it's going to be a tight game initially, but we'll open up as the game goes on. And I can see us letting the goal in first, but a late equaliser will send us home fairly happy with a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw. You know, it's funny, Mike. I was considering doing the 2-2 draw because based on the fact that they're starting goalkeepers out, some defenders not playing, I'm figuring, you know what? Fulham can score some goals here, but they can also let up some goals. So it's going to be interesting. You know me, I'm Mr. Optimistic. I'm going to go 3-1 Fulham. I am going for a huge Fulham victory. I'm going to go with my friend Chris Baugh. I'm going to say 3-1 Fulham. And Mike, guess who's going to score all three goals?
Ross.
It's going to be Ross McCormack. I'm telling you, I've got a good feeling. I think he's going to have a huge season, Mike. Regardless of the result tomorrow, I think Ross McCormack is going to score 20-plus goals.
Well, he should do with that midfield behind, shouldn't he? I mean, that's key to us, you know, being able to do anything this year. I mean, he got 19 last year and we ended up 17. So it's not just a case of him scoring goals. It's having that support behind him. And if he's up front, doesn't decide to pick the ball up off the centre-back, then with the players we have, he should be getting 25 easy.
Boy, I hope you're right, Mike. All right, great stuff. Listen, thank you so much for joining me tonight, and have a safe journey. And I also want to mention this because, again, Alex Norton wanted me to make sure to mention this for the Fulham supporters traveling. Be aware of the rugby match in Central Cardiff tomorrow. Just be aware of it. Give yourself some extra time getting there, whether it's by car or train. Give yourself some extra time. You might be dealing with some traffic. I know you're probably aware of that as well, Mike. So just, you know, again, I just advise everyone, if you're going to Cardiff, give yourself a little extra time and hopefully you guys will get there on time. And hopefully, who knows, see a Fulham victory. That would be a great way to start the season. Any final thoughts, Mike, before we wrap this up?
Just to say that I'm looking forward to the game, and first game of a new season is always, you know, you should always be optimistic and forget about any problems you've had in pre-season and the summer, and, you know, get behind the lads tomorrow, and hopefully they will deliver and we'll come away with a point or even three, and that will set us up for all the games coming up, because there's a lot of games this month, and it's going to be football, you know, almost twice a week, and we're going to see a lot of our players used as well. And what I would say to anyone listening who actually goes to the games, be patient, especially with the youngsters who play. And, you know, let's just give them a bit of time and find the lads.
I agree with all that, Mike. And listen, seriously, have a good time. I wish everyone a good time tomorrow. I'll be listening. And like I said, hopefully I'll be listening to a Fulham victory. And I cannot wait for this new season to begin. Boy, I've been looking forward to this. Tomorrow cannot come soon enough. And Mike, great job as always. Listen, I want to apologize to everyone. You know, again, we have been dealing with some blogtalkradio.com issues. I've been in touch with them. They are working out some bugs in their system. So that might be some of the issues you've been hearing the last couple of shows. And Mike, I feel bad because I think you are a victim of some of these bugs, but thank you so much for being a trooper and getting through it. And you dial back in. And honestly, when you dial back in, you sounded much better, Mike.
Okay, it's no problem. It's technology. It's never perfect, but hopefully everyone gets the gist of what we're all trying to say.
Absolutely. All right, let's wrap this up. Before we go, just a reminder, you can download College Talk on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. Also, you can listen to College Talk on the TuneIn app, which is available at most app stores for your mobile device. Well, that's it for this episode. For Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to College Talk. Cheers. Have a great day, Mike.
Bye. Thanks.